Welcome to Home Education Matters, the weekly podcast supporting you on your home education journey. Hello and welcome to another episode of Home Education Matters. And today is our next episode in our Journey into Home Education series with Ash. And it is our March episode. I had to think about that for a minute. And we are going to be seeing how you've been getting on. So hit us with it, Ash, because I know that last time we spoke, you had YouTube project on the go. You had school place that you're waiting to find out about, and you're organizing your own home ed meetup. So I want to know how all of those things are going.
It has been an eventful month, to be fair. There's been quite a lot going on. And given that it's quite a short month from an academic perspective, yeah, there's been lots going on. So the most important thing I think is that we've socialized, which is good, and we're socializing, which is good. So the club that I set up has worked really well. So Isma loves board games. So I think one of the things that I was struggling to do is find something that Isma would actually be interested in. And it wouldn't be one of those conversations where I have to, or one of those situations where I have to drag him into doing something. So from this point of view, board games were right up his street. And he really enjoyed helping me set up, buy all the games that we needed, you know, get all the organization of kind of getting the hall hired out and stuff. So he was very involved in that and very kind of, I guess he felt like the idea came from him, so he liked the ownership aspect of it. And then we had people turn up, which was great. So it wasn't the first session that we had didn't have a massive, I think there were about four families, but families had multiple children, so that wasn't too bad, I don't think. And it's probably quite a nice group as well for Ismail to be able to interact with and slowly kind of get with. But I don't know what I was worried about, because he absolutely just fit straight in. He was laughing, he was playing games, and you know, everyone was getting on really well. So I think we spend a lot of time worrying, like, what if he can't socialize anymore, what if he's forgotten, what if all these things. But actually, kids are kids, and they will just, you know, they will flourish in whatever environment you put them in, if it's the right environment for them. So yeah, he enjoyed it, he loved it. And then we had another session, so we do it every other week. I thought every week was going to be a bit too much, just with having to plan everything from my point of view and having to set everything up. So we do it every other week. We had the last session for that last week, it was our second session. And that went really well. We had extra people. We had about seven families turn up. So it was insane. And so there were more children Ismail's age as well, which was nice. So he had a really great time again. Yeah, he's learning to play chess now based on that group. So that's always good as well. So yeah, he's really enjoying that, and I'm really pleased with how that's gone.
That's wonderful. It's really nice to hear that taking that kind of step out of your comfort zone, out of all of our comfort zones, and setting something up has worked out well, because I think my experience of these things has always been quite negative. So it's really nice to hear a really positive one where you get seven families turning up. And I mean, yeah. I think actually that a board game club would have been, you know, we'd have been all over that as well at that age. It's such a lovely idea, isn't it?
I think the feedback from the area has been that there isn't that much set up, that there isn't a lot in the area. So it's nice to be able to talk to other parents as well. And it's nice to have such a large variety of parents who either are very early on in their home educating journey or have always home educated. And have one lady who turned up had like a 20-year-old who'd home educated the whole time and is now training to be a pilot. But she's also got a 5-year-old who was there. So it's just nice to see people who are from very different walks of life, very different places in the home educating journey. And like you said, I think you said once that you find out about other meetups and things like that when you're actually interacting with the parents. And as awkward as it was initially, I think that it was actually a lot better than I anticipated. I thought that my social battery would be flat after, you know, having to host everybody, but it was actually really okay. And I enjoyed seeing some similar faces again the next time. I'm talking about it like it was for me, aren't I? But Ismail also, his battery was still going and he still enjoyed it. So from that perspective, it worked out really well.
I think I released a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and that was on the importance of community when you're parenting, and specifically home ed parenting. And that was basically from the parents' perspective, you know, how important it is for us to have other parents that we speak to who kind of understand where we are on our journey. And I think without that school gates kind of thing, you know, we can miss that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really easy to, because you're always I feel as though when you're a home educating parent in the normal, regular community, you're constantly having to justify yourself, or you're constantly having to explain everything. And it's nice to have like-minded people that you don't have to do that with. It's like, oh, I found my people. These are people who are doing exactly the same thing that I'm doing. So it's that, from that perspective, yeah, it makes you feel that community is a really good place to be able to, I guess, you know, just connect with people.
Do you think that Ismail also sort of feels that things are a bit more, in inverted commas, normal? You know, because I know that he felt that, because he was hanging out with a lot of schooled children, I know he sort of felt that he was maybe a little bit sort of like not doing the normal thing, which of course we aren't, but it helps, I think, to see other people not doing the normal thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, yeah, because I think normally if I go out with Ismail in school, like in the day when other children are at school, I think he's quite... I think he's okay with it, but I'm often thinking, oh, what, I wonder what people are thinking about why he's not at school. And I think people have made comments before, was it an inset day today or a teacher training day today, etc. But I think for him, being around other children who are home educated, I'd say it's early days yet. I wouldn't say that he's made like best friends or anything like that. He's just socializing and meeting people more. Yeah, I think it's nice for him to see the children, but he hasn't made any comments as to, oh, okay, other people live their lives this way as well. So yeah, we're still, you know, in the journey of finding that, having that realization, I think.
I think also that one thing I think maybe like is a generational thing that I certainly struggle with, is that a lot of the meetups between teens are interspersed and solidified by chatting on their phones or Discord servers or whatever in between the meetups.
Yeah.
And so whereas like in my eyes I would think, oh, they're only meeting up every 2 weeks, but actually they're like playing Minecraft together every day or whatever. And I think that kind of tends to help. Have you found that Ismail has found online friends as well through the meetups, who are sort of in yeah. real life and online?
No, I don't think he would think. So Ismail isn't, he's only recently gotten a phone, and there are massive restrictions on it because I caved, but then that, so we've not actually done that. I have thought about that as in, once his friendship develops a little bit more, he can then invite them to play Minecraft together or whatever it is that he plays. We haven't gotten to that stage yet. It's only been 2 week meetup, so I think that's where we're heading, but we're not there yet.
I find that my favorite online socializing, because I'm also not a big fan and we kind of have some tech restrictions to a degree, and my children are like 16 and 17, so that's a bit mad. And I know people who are listening to this are going to be like, what you like limit your child's tech when they're 16, but I do a little bit, to be honest. And one of my favorite ways that my daughter in particular, who's 16, who interacts with friends online, is through might play Minecraft together when they've got their mics on and they're actually talking as if they would be in the same room. I think that's a really nice, that's my favorite of the kind of online, even more so than WhatsApp and stuff like that. I think that's
absolutely, because they've got a common goal and they've got common interests and they're actually doing the activity, and the world has evolved, because we used to probably grow up playing out on the streets and just like, I don't know, climbing trees or whatever it was that we did. I think the world has evolved to an extent, and there are things like that out there still. It's just an evolution of how teens, I guess, communicate with each other and hang out with each other. So yeah, definitely that's something that we can go down the path that I have thought about, I have considered it, but obviously it has to feel a bit more, I guess, natural for it to happen. It's got to come from Ismail a bit more. So I think we'll give it a few more sessions and see how we get on.
Yeah, I think so. And from your perspective, you made some friends? Kind of friends, little friends.
Yeah, definitely. The people who I've seen twice now, because they came to both. I think it's really nice when you meet people, like I said, who are in the same position as you, and that's been really, really great. And yeah, friends is a strong word, isn't it? I'm being inclusive of my friendship boundaries and things. No, but it's been nice to have people to talk to, and yeah, I can see us being friends in the future for sure. I feel like I'm one of those, you know, those dating programs where they ask you at the end,
are you going to see each other again?
Yeah, exactly.
In actual fact, I've been chatting to a friend of mine about, because I set up a Facebook group to sort of like for home ed parents to make friends with each other. And I said I wanted it to be like a kind of Bumble Tinder thing. And I still think there's a lot of space for that kind of thing in home ed, you know, to have to have a kind of dating style meeting idea. People.
That's a really good idea, because there is one for new mums, like mums. So I know there's an app for that. So that's a home ed special one, a specified one for that. That'd go really well. Yeah, I'll buy into that.
I shall pass that on to her so she knows it's a viable idea. So what about the school place? Because I think you were hearing back from your preferred school.
Yeah, so he got the place in the school that he wants the place in, which is good news for him at the moment. He's quite happy about that, quite looking forward to it. And it's actually, we go, Isma goes and plays badminton there every week. So it's in the evenings, we go, because you can hire out the courts and things, so adults can. So we all go out on a Wednesday evening, and that's where we go. So he's familiar with the building anyway, and kind of like the school grounds, I suppose. And he has mentioned when we've been there a few times, well, next year when I go, will we still do this, or we do certain things? So he is in his mind, certainly going to give it a good go. I think we'll see how it goes. I've been looking into kind of, obviously, I like to have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. So I've been looking at kind of, an alternative as to, will, because I know if it turns out that he decides not to do it or he really struggles with it, I've got a bit of an action plan now, and I was going to run it by you and see what you thought, actually.
Okay.
Why not? So I was thinking, I think what we're going to do, because we talked about this in the last session, as to what kind of, how will we know when, in the last podcast, sorry, how will I know when it's time to take him out? Well, what will I, because obviously there's going to be a bit of kind of, initially there's going to be a bit of, it's going to be difficult for him to go in and all those things, even though it's something that he wants to do. So I was thinking maybe giving it a space of like a term and seeing how often, kind of monitoring how often he wants to go out. And then I get, unless it gets absolutely awful, in which case I will pull him out. I think I've had a little think about how I want to go with that. And I think, I think it's important for him to give it a good go, but also know that there's going to be a backup plan there. And I've been looking at kind of online schools to see if that's something, I've not been speaking to Ismail about this yet, but just thinking about whether an online school might be an option as a backup plan, or if I want to go down the tutor route, or if I want to continue to go kind of like a bit more of a bit of dip into tutors and a bit of kind of let's follow your interests and see where you are, where you're at. So it's all kind of happening, and I'm kind of formulating some sort of structure that we can follow as we get into September.
Yeah, I think when it comes to trying to see how he's settling into school, I mean, you know as well as I do that the most important thing is that they feel they can tell you, you know, they feel they can talk to you about it, and that you haven't got a kind of like preset idea about how you want it to go, because children are sometimes can be real people pleasers, you know, parent pleasers. They can be parent pleasers, and is he not? I know, but you'd be surprised. And they can think, oh, like, you know, they can feel like I said I wanted to do this, and therefore now I'm kind of committed to it. So I think as long as they know that you're okay either way, and that they can always talk to you about it. I always found, I don't know how long the car journey is from the school, but I always find car journeys really good times to talk, because you're not looking at each other and you're doing something. And it's a kind of safe little contained amount of time for them just to tell you what's happening. I find car journeys good.
No, I agree. I think car journeys are great for that. It's not a long car journey. He probably walked, to be fair, but still. Yeah. I'm thinking back to the horrible traumatic car journeys we had last year when he was at school, and how it was me trying to talk to him, but then him kind of shutting down because he'd been masking. He was exhausted from kind of masking all day. So yeah, that's brought a flashback to me. But hopefully, you know, we'll see. Like I said, I want him to know that I will catch him if he decides not to go down that road. I am there for him, and I'll support him either way. So we'll see where we go. But the uncertainty does make me feel a little bit nervous, but that's life, isn't it?
Options and opportunities. They always make us feel a little bit nervous, but actually that's how we move. Like any kind of movement is going from where we are, where we're feeling a little bit comfortable, to where we don't know where we're going to end up, and that always makes us nervous. But ultimately, otherwise, we wouldn't do anything, would we?
Very good point. Yeah,
that was like my worst life coaching advice ever. There was the kind of thing you would find on a mug. So, hang on, I'm going to have to get my brain back after that, because that was like, that's like too bad. It's thrown me completely. Oh, yes. I think when it comes to online schools, I did a podcast about online schools with a lady who runs a directory where she kind of where she charts out all the different online schools and the provision, because there's such a variation of online schools. You know, some just offer like a few subjects, you know, no live lessons, nothing, and others offer the full on, you know, extracurricular dinner time chats. I mean, you know, some of them really go for it, and I can safely say that the price reflects what you get. You know, some of them are very, very expensive. However, you know, it's a really popular route, and I did the online schools podcast, and I don't think it came as a shock to anyone that I'm not a big online schools fan, because yeah. I just think it's very, very expensive. And I think it's in some ways, it takes away some of the joy, some of the bonuses of home educating, you know, the kind of flexibility and stuff.
That puts me off as well. I think it's you have to be, the schools that I've looked at anyway, you have to kind of be present at a certain time. So it's like being at school, except for you're doing it for, so it's like school from home, as opposed to home educating, where you're kind of not following a curriculum necessarily and doing things on your own terms. So yeah, I understand why you wouldn't like it as well, because your kids have never been to school. So you've not had to have that restriction. And it does make me feel a little bit claustrophobic when I think about it as well. But that's why we're thinking of plan B's, C's and D's, and seeing kind of
And I think there's an argument for incorporating all sorts of different things in. So if you wanted to have something more structured, you could go for one of those online schools that maybe aren't quite so rigid, you know, but still offer, you know, like kind of a GCSE in a bag kind of thing, you know, where you sort of sign up for 2 years and, you know, it kind of ticked off. And I think those kind of, I always quite liked those kind of courses, you know, where you sign up to an online course for a particular GCSE. So you know you've got that kind of covered, and then you would just do some stuff alongside it. And I found that took quite a lot of pressure off. I'd always have at least one of those on the go, and then maybe two that I was self-studying, and then maybe one where we had a tutor, purely if it was like a subject that was either very important to them or that I just wasn't able to help them with. So there's all sorts of different options. I quite liked that kind of pick and mix approach, because I thought it worked for us. But it depends how much time you have, because I know you've got a young baby, and that's not always inclusive. That's not always ideal for wanting to sit there for hours with mark schemes and curricula and trying to decide what you're going to do.
I think more than that for me is, because yes, I am busy. I work, I have all those other things that I'm doing. However, I think with Ismail, we've got a lot of demand avoidance that takes place. I've kind of, he often doesn't want to do the thing. If it's with me, with other people, he is more likely to do it. So I think the change of face is really helpful for him. I like that idea. I hadn't considered that. Maybe like following, I didn't know that was available actually, the courses, and going down the course route and saying, oh, we're going to look at, I don't know, English for the next 2 years and focus on English and get your English GCSE done. Also, that's maybe geography or whatever, a silly example. But yeah, I like the idea of that. So we'd have to consider that as well.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, you've got Iram Malik, who's done a podcast with us. She does English language. She does an English language course. Then you've got Humanities, who I've also done a podcast with. I try to get all the best people on my podcast. So you've got Humanities. They do GCSEs in a bag, if you like, 1 year or 2 years. And they do all the kind of humanities subjects, geography, RE, environmental management, that kind of history, ancient history, classical civilization. And then you've got Get Keyed Up, who I've also done a podcast with, and they do global citizenship, environmental management. Then you've got eLearn with Amy, who I'm not sure she does GCSE courses. I think she does. She's doing the new marine science, which is rather lovely. You've got Damien from Earthlings, who also does GCSEs in a bag. You know, you've got Homemade Education. They do lots of GCSEs. There's also, I mean, I feel like I'm missing lots, but there's all sorts of home educators and people who work with home educators who basically offer online courses where you pay X amount, you know, from anything from a certain amount a month or like a £300 all in kind of thing. And you get your videos and your homework marked and your assignments and your exam practice and everything. You get all of it thrown in, and they are really good because you can take your time, or you can do it over a year, or you can do it over 3 years. Or and Holly Billinghurst, of course, from Teach All About IT, or Teach All About It, she does a lot of the computer science stuff. All sorts of wonderful people providing amazing things in the home ed world. Yeah,
and that sounds really great. And that's great options for, and a great option for people who don't want to stay too far from the curriculum, still want to have the GCSEs taken, but also want the flexibility of being able to kind of pick up and go wherever they want, or like take time off when they want to and things like that. So that's a great option for me to consider for sure. Thank you.
Yeah. And like you say, it's helpful for children who maybe don't love their mother sitting next to them with a textbook, you know, but may find a video for, you know, a video lesson from a teacher who's very inspiring, may find that much more fun. I know my daughter loved humanities, Jake. Yeah. From humanities, his classes, really loved those. Okay, so next question, last question actually, is the YouTube run through walkthrough. I can't remember how you described it.
Speed run, yeah, speed run,
that's right.
Yeah, that's gone well. So he had it all set up. He had his Mac. He had everything out like the way he wanted it. He did a couple of speed runs with voiceovers, and then he decided he didn't like the sound of his own voice. I guess you don't think about this, do you, until you actually have to hear the sound of your voice. So at the moment, I'm trying to build him up so that he's speaking on the videos again, rather than just like kind of saying that he wants to edit it out with subtitles and things like that. So with that came positives, and he's still working on these projects. But I think the self-esteem and the kind of, sometimes he's really hard on himself. And I think it's a good opportunity. And we're trying to work with him on kind of overcoming that kind of feeling of, I'm not good enough. This isn't good enough. This doesn't sound like the other YouTubers do it, and things like that. So we're working on that with him. So it's a good lesson to learn.
Do you know, it wasn't until I started doing this podcast that I realized how many hang-ups people have with their voices, because I can safely say that at least 40% of the people that I do a podcast with don't listen to the podcast because they don't want to hear their voice. He's not alone. I mean, and he's what, you know, 11 years old or something. So you know, he's got a hang-up that grown adults have, you know, when it comes to hearing your voice. Because I remember when I was about the same age, and this is how old I am, I heard my voice on an answer phone. That was the first time I'd ever heard my voice. And it sent me into a kind of weird existential crisis spiral, because I thought, this isn't me. Like, it just isn't me how I hear myself in my head. And it took me ages to get through that. And my daughter had a really similar thing where she was going to do some YouTube stuff. And I think it was TikTok Reels or something. And then she heard her voice and didn't like it and didn't want to do it. And
she overcome it. She managed to overcome the... Yeah, she did. Good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, she did. I think it stopped her for about a year or two. And then I think she just got a little bit older and a little bit sassier and a bit more like, you know, who cares how I sound? But I think when they sound quite young, I think that they sound very young. And in their head, they think they sound super mature. And then they hear themselves, they think they sound like little children, and they think other YouTubers sound much older. But of course, if you don't get YouTubers who sound like children doing it, then people will never hear that voice. And so it's a spiral, isn't it? So tell Ismail he needs to be the vanguard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I will do that. I think it's interesting because it's that age as well, isn't it? That kind of age just before you hit your teens, and that age where you're not a child anymore. You don't see yourself as a child, but you're not quite a teen yet. And so I think dealing with those aspects of things as a parent anyway, like as any parent has to deal with, but then also trying to kind of maximize their learning and like opportunities for them in that time when they might be reluctant because of the hang-ups that they have. Yeah, that's another challenge that in itself. It's when your children are going out to kind of schools and there are other mentors and kind of role models and other teachers out there who are inputting and making them feel good about themselves, hopefully, it shares the load a bit. I think when it's just all kind of on you to do it. And also, like, I think that when children get to this age, they kind of don't value what you say as a mum anymore. I think especially Ismail, like, oh, of course you're going to say nice things to me, you're my mum. So it's one of those things where your opinion kind of doesn't hold as much weight as other people's. But yeah, it's another part of parenting.
It's true. And it sounds like yet another wonderful thing from doing the YouTube project is that it's presented Ismail with an opportunity to grow, you know, and to work through his kind of hang-ups and to work through his perception of what a YouTuber should sound like and what he should sound like. And it's just another opportunity, isn't it, to you know, for him to grow and develop. So it sounds rather wonderful.
Yeah, keep you posted on that one. I think that's going to be a longer investment with time and see how that goes.
Yeah, it's in 10 years time when Ismail looks back at this podcast, when he's a famous YouTuber, he'll be like, oh, I don't know what my problem was with my voice. And
great.
Exactly. Well, it sounds like March has been a really fun month for you. Do you have plans for April?
I think we're going to take a break. We are going to take a break. We're not going anywhere particularly, but we've got some like kind of day trips planned and things like that. So we're going to take a break from formal learning, but continue our, like we're going to go to York and spend some time in looking at Jorvik and all those sorts of things and learning about history in that way. So I think we're going to take a break from the books. I think he's very much fed up of that at the moment and is looking forward to a good break. So it will only be a short, well, no, it'll be an April is April. We'll be doing learning through the holidays, but he just won't know he's learning. That's all.
That sounds joyous. My children have their GCSEs, and my daughter has her final GCSEs. She's doing three. She's already done four, I think. And my son has his four A levels this summer. They're starting in a month, actually. His first A level starts on the April the 23rd or something, very early. And we are like, the thought of having a break from books is just a joy, because we are immersed in studying at the moment.
Last
it's the
push now, yeah.
last push exactly it's I do feel a little bit like I'm in the Somme, about to go over the top. It does feel a bit like that, because we live quite a long way from the exam center, and so it's a 2-hour drive, and we got quite a lot of morning exams, and there is absolutely no way I'm risking the M4 into Bristol first thing in the morning. So I'm going to have to stay overnight in Bristol the night before, and I've worked out that it's going to cost me £1,500 just in hotels to stay overnight in Bristol. I know, it's quite something. And then obviously you have all the stress of making sure they get to the exams, and let alone the revision, you know. I mean, I've almost bowed out of that bit, because I just too much stress.
Yeah, it is a stressful time for children in school and out of school. I suppose exams are just one of those things, aren't they? That they kind of, if you choose to do them, they're not easy, and they're not fun. They're supposed to test you. But I hope it all goes well with exams for them.
Next time we meet, I will be immersed in the start of exams. So if I'm very stressed, you know what's happening.
I'm mindful of that.
Well, it's lovely chatting again, Ash, and do let us know how things go at the end of April.
I'll see you at the end of April. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's Home Education Matters podcast. See you at the next one. Have a lovely day.